This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Psalm 30, beginning with verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought me up from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Let us pray. Our Father, how gracious and how merciful thou art, that thou would leave us such a portion upon the pages of Holy Writ, that we could give thee thanks at the remembrance of thy holiness, and to know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Thou art altogether lovely and precious to our soul, and we thank thee for the opportunity of serving thee and loving thee and following thee. For thou art our God, revealed unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, and for this we give thee thanks. Our Father, I'll cry again today as if I will take thy word home to every listening heart, that thou would work effectually as only thou canst do. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shore. Chart and compass come from thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot. Mother's hills are child, thou canst find leaning on thy breast. May I hear thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Our heart goes to each and every one of you today, praying that the blessings of our gracious Lord would rest upon you. God would work in each and every one of our hearts according to His will. My heart's been burdened for you, and I would that you would pray for us. You want a copy of these messages that we're delivering now on Decision for Christ? What does it mean? They're yours free and postpaid if you will write for them. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. Dear friends, for the past weeks, we have been studying with you from God's Word what the Scriptures teach concerning decision for Christ and what it entails, what it means. I would like to continue on this subject today with another message on the warnings from God's Word about Christian profession and decision. That God would give us hearing ears and seeing eyes has been our cry. And I come with burdened heart, praying that God would take His Word home to our hearts today. As you know, we've been looking at Matthew 7:21 in our last messages, where our Lord tells us in words that are startling, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Then he tells us that at the last day of judgment, many will say unto him, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. My friend, these are startling words. Aren't they coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who is the one who came from heaven's heights to earth's depths for the purpose of dying in the place of poor sinners? These are startling words, for it shows us that men and women will go to hell from the very gates of heaven because they have never known Christ in that living reality. They've only had lip service. And they never knew what it was to close in with Christ with that by true saving faith. I ask you a question. Have you ever wondered what caused our Lord to say this about these souls who made a profession of His name, who had preached in His name, had cast out demons in His name, had done many wonderful works in His name, and had all the assurance in the world that they were Christians? Have you ever wondered why they will be cast from Him in the day of judgment with those words, I never knew you, depart from me that work iniquity? Have you ever stopped and wondered why these warnings are in God's Word? You should, for they're given for a reason. And my friend, this is serious business that we're in today. These messages are calculated that God would deal with our hearts. The Word of God is filled with such warnings that men and women will go to hell from the very gates of heaven because they have never known the Lord Jesus in that living, loving, and lasting union of love. All they've had was a mere profession. All of this should make us search out our hearts and cry, Lord, don't let me go. Lord, don't let me be deceived. Lord, search out my heart, for I do not want to hear those words in that day. I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. Therefore, shouldn't we ask these questions? And shouldn't we also ask ourselves, does Christ know me in that living union of salvation? Have I been begotten of Him? Does He know me in the new birth? Has He been revealed to my heart? Do I know Him in that living reality of salvation? Am I in Christ? Dear friend, these things should concern us. For you see, this is no laughing matter. This is no plaything. but an eternal thing, because the destinies of our never-dying souls are at stake. For my friend, if you miss Christ, you miss everything that God has for you. For in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and the riches of God's grace. You see, it is in Him that God gives us salvation and no one else. Salvation is not a mere decision or profession, but it is that radical change of the new birth, the breaking of the power of sin. And all of this, my friend, is worked in us by the power of God's Holy Spirit. You see, it is in this revelation, this relationship, that the Lord Jesus becomes a living reality to our hearts. Therefore, because many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, and yet shall not enter into heaven, then we should ask the question, what caused our Lord to proclaim such solemn, heart-searching words as these? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. I believe we can answer this question by looking today at another place in the Gospels where our Lord brings before us this matter of true decision and gives us warnings as to the consequences of profession without life, building upon a foundation that is not in Him. Will you listen? Let us go to Luke chapter 6 and read verses 47, 48, and 49. Our Lord tells us there, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth not my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." You see here, our Lord lays it all out before us, that the man who will stand the fury of God's judgment and the fury of God's wrath in that last great day is the one who has dug down deep and built upon the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to go in to it with you today and study it with you. And let us see together what is meant by the expression digged deep in Luke 6:48, and thereby answer the question as to why this house or life failed and why those spoken of in Matthew 7:22, even though they said, Lord, Lord, are cast out of God's presence at the last day. Will you listen? A saving knowledge, a laying hold of Christ, is not the simple thing that so many suppose it to be today. You see, saving faith is not easy to come by. Why? Because it is a gift from God. Man must be humbled in the dust before he will, as a beggar, go to Christ as his Redeemer. So many attempt to build upon Christ, but there has been no proper foundation work done in their heart. No work of the grace of the Holy Spirit in their souls to tear down all their fleshly hopes and thereby lay at the feet of Christ their never-dying souls crying for mercy. We find here that the man or the woman, the young person or the boy or girl who builds upon Christ the solid rock, that individual has to dig down deep. Now let us see what this means. Will you listen? First of all, he digs deep who does not enter upon a Christian profession hurriedly or lightly, but instead sits down and counts the cost, as our Lord told us to do in Luke 14:28. You see, there are some who say they're saved before they have any feeling sense that they are lost. There are others who profess to receive Christ who yet have no realization of the claims of His Lordship to reign over them. There are those who present themselves for baptism who know nothing about the terms of Christian discipleship. Such people rush into a profession of religion, make a decision, and then most of them rush right back out again. They receive the word with joy rather than with painful convictions of sin. Therefore, according to Matthew 13, they have no root in themselves and so endure for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for this word's sake, immediately they are offended and turn back to the world and do not have Christ. Beloved, what a situation we face today. When a people are told to believe, but they do not know what to believe, how to believe, and they do not know anything about a holy God and the sinful condition of their own hearts, and why they need the Lord Jesus Christ. So digging down deep then is counting the cost. And I hear you asking the question, Pastor, what is that cost? I've given it to you before, let us give it to you again. It is the cost of denying self, of leaving sin, of turning from the world, a giving up of my way and my pleasure and my family. Yea, it is a giving up of the whole man to the whole Christ to follow Him all the days of our life. It is the giving up of the right to myself and the cost of daily bearing Christ's cross of separation from the world. It is the cost of giving up friends and loved ones. Yes, all things to be His disciples. Well, if you remember, we are warned that the man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And again, we are told to remember Lot's wife, who turned back to judgment and turned back to perdition. And I know what you're saying in your heart. Fella, you can preach along this line all you want to, but you're not going to change me. I'm saved. Nothing's going to change me. But my friend, why are you not willing to sit under the preaching of the gospel? Why do you cut service week after week after week and will not sit under the plain teaching of God's Word? Why will you not come clean and come clear with God? Why don't you search what you have by the Word of God? Why don't you love the Holy Bible? And why don't you love the fellowship of the saints? And why don't you love to be around God's children? And why don't you love to be to humble yourself and come clean and come clear with God and love the Word of God? I know why. Because you know what it'll cost you. It'll cost you the world. It'll cost you your sins. You're not willing to give it up yet, aren't you? In the second place, he who digs deep labors to be emptied of self-righteousness and self-esteem and self-sufficiency. You see, we hear from many pulpits and many preachers and from many psychiatrists today, they say, be your own person. Have great self-esteem. Do your own thing. Be independent. You know, you'll get along better with yourself if you can do that. But my friend, this is foreign to God's Word. Listen to Galatians 6:3. There we find the Word of God saying, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You see, dear friend, we are nothing in the sight of God but poor sinners, needing Christ's salvation and Christ's righteousness and Christ's blood and Christ's strength, for without Him we can do nothing. So the person who digs deep and builds upon the solid foundation, who is Christ Jesus the Lord, he cries, Lord, help me. Lord, show me myself. Empty me of my self-esteem and my self-sufficiency and my self-righteousness. And bring me to rest as an empty-handed sinner at the feet of Christ, trusting Him and Him only for my salvation and my justification before God. You see, dear friend, this is the reason those poor souls in Matthew 7 who cried, Lord, Lord, who will cry, Lord, Lord, in the day of judgment will hear those words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. For they never knew themselves. They never knew their own insufficiency, and they never took time out to get saved. God's Word said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And some of you are going to hell right from under the preaching of the Word of God because you will not avail yourself of the opportunity of hearing the Word of God. I don't want to hear that of what it's going to cost me. But my friend, you will hear it. If you ever saved, you will hear it. You will love to hear it. You will cry unto God that He will take it and write it upon your heart. Because you know that that's the only way that you can be saved is for God to work His work of grace in your soul. Let us see how the Lord Jesus Christ Himself pressed this fact upon his hearers in John 6:44. He said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." But I ask a question, who believes that truth today when we hear nothing but free will? You see, the free will of man is cried up today. All you have to do is believe. These individuals are wiser than Christ himself, for Christ said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." But you cry free will, free choice. You can repent any time you want to. Therefore, those who profess Christ under this type of preaching know nothing about the unbelief of their hearts, the sin that shuts them out from God. They never hear what John 16:8 tells us, that the Spirit of truth was sent for one reason, that was to convict us of sin, and that is the sin of unbelief. You see, here we have the reason why men are not saved, who have just lip profession and service, because they have not been convinced of the sin of unbelief. They make a profession, they profess, and yet they have not life because they have truly never known their need of the great physician to heal their soul. They do not know what it means to stand as an unbeliever, as a helpless unbeliever before God, who cannot believe him apart from God-given faith and God-given grace to close in with him. Now, nobody has to tell me that this is popular preaching, because I know it's not. My friend, I did not take a Dale Carnegie course to know how to speak to influence people. I'm not out to make friends from the standpoint of making you a friend by just patting you on the back. I'm not out to make myself popular. But I am, by the grace of God, want to be a true shepherd to your soul and a true pastor to your soul and a true watchman on the soul. On the wall to your soul. For you see, if I tell you God's truth of God's Word, then you're not going to be deceived anymore. And I don't want you deceived. I pray God that He'll take His Word home to your heart. In the third place, he who digs deep and comes to know Christ in that living union of reality strives after. Listen to me now. He strives after an experiential and inward knowledge of the truth. You see, a mere profession, a mere head knowledge, a mere theoretical acquaintance with God's truth will not suffice the true-seeking soul. His cry is like that of the psalmist in Psalm 35:3. "Say to my soul, O Lord, Thou art my salvation." I do not want to be deceived or stop short of Christ. Dear friend, I would not and could not be a true shepherd, a surgeon of souls, if I did not warn you to dig deep and strive after an experiential and inward knowledge of the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, seek to have it burned in your soul by the Holy Spirit that Christ is yours and you are His. You don't want to miss it. Ask Him to work true saving faith in you so that you will embrace Christ in your understanding, in your affection, and in your will, and that you will embrace Christ by faith in all of His offices as prophet, priest, and king. My dear friend, I warn you today, don't stop short of Christ. You don't want just head knowledge. You want heart knowledge. You want reality. Well, you see, that's the reason people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, there's no reality of the Lord Jesus. You go through your services and your prayers and your form and your ritual, but there is something missing. It's life. Life is missing. The life of God is not there. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would give it, for He alone is the life-giving Spirit of God, and He alone can apply it to your soul. May I close with a personal word of testimony today? Cannot close without this personal word of testimony. I never cease praising the Lord that He didn't let me stop short of the Lord Jesus Christ. I made my first profession when I was 6 years of age. I made another one when I was 16, and I made many, many more after that. Why? I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to be damned. Every time under the preaching of the Word, they sung the invitation hymn, and the preacher said, "If you don't come on this verse, then the door is going to be closed against you forever." And then I would hit the aisle, hoping that something would happen from the time I left my seat until I got to the front. Then I would sit down and the people would come by and shake my hand and say, "Well, I hope you made it to the Lord this time." And then I would tell myself, "You fool, All you've done is made another profession. You don't have Christ. Nothing is real. And I found out you don't get salvation by leaving your pew and walking down the aisle and giving the preacher your hand. It doesn't come like that. For salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is a revelation of Christ to the heart as your Lord and as your Savior. And my friend, you come to God as a poor, repentant sinner whose heart has been opened by the Holy Spirit to his utter lost condition before God. This is how you come. Year after year after year I made profession. Nobody ever told me that salvation was of the Lord. I thought that truly, time I left my seat, to the time I got to the front and gave the preacher my hand, that something mysterious was going to happen to me. But that's not the way salvation comes. Salvation comes to a poor, hell-deserving lost sinner who lays at the feet of God in sackcloth and ashes. He lays there in repentance. He lays there with a broken heart, over sin and the way he has treated a holy God. And faith is given unto him by the Spirit of God to see in Christ a Savior and a Lord and a Redeemer who bore his sins in his own body upon the tree. My friend, I never ceased praising the Lord that he never would let me rest short of Christ on a profession. But he kept stirring up my heart, and the mud sills of my heart were broken up, and I came to see myself as a lost sinner before God. He made me dig down deep. Under the foundation stone was laid in my heart and made me cry, Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I was made to rest before him and wait before him and look to him for that broken heart and contrite spirit. Well, I had to come to him in repentance. I had to come to him in sackcloth and ashes. I had to come hoisting the white flag of surrender. I had to lay it all down before him as a helpless soul. I had to come to him as an empty-handed sinner, crying unto him for mercy. And did he save me? Praise God, he did. He does not turn away any soul that comes to him in repentance, that comes to him with a broken heart. You see, God saved this poor sinner that speaks to you today for Christ's sake, on the basis of his work, and all that was that he did for me. He made it real to my soul by the faith of God's elect, the faith that the Holy Spirit works in us by his power. And for this, dear friends, I praise him for it. I pour out my soul today, crying unto God to give me a word of warning to your heart. And again, try to lay before you what true decision is. You'll want a copy of these messages. Write it. We'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Until this time next week, goodbye. And may God bless you.